Well, if I may start with this, this coming election will produce a national government that certainly will take seriously the issue that been expressed by the people, to end the military occupation of Iraq. So certainly election will lead to the removal of foreign troops, will bring or regain Iraq full sovereignty, will embark on the road of building hopefully lasting democracy. So in addition to that, this is for the first time Iraqis have been allowed really to say and express the view and to have in a sense a direct say in who should govern them. So certainly the Iraqi Federation of Trade Unions support this and support this initiative. In addition to that, Iraqis, after all their struggle and sacrifices, surely they have won the right to hold elections. Whatever one man can say, this election will be flawed or not. This is a start.
I guess my next question would be, are you concerned about the electoral process? Some, many people have expressed concerns that the process seems as though it will be rushed, and that there will be a disenfranchisement, and that the government will not necessarily be representative. Do you think that will happen? And if so, is it better than nothing?
Well, let's see who want to see elections succeed and who want to see election take place on the 30th of January, and who doesn't. The United Nations want to see election take place. The international community want to see election take place. The regional power, including those who are meddling in the internal affair of Iraq's politics, want to see election taking place. In addition to that, and most importantly, Iraqi people want to see election taking place. Key political parties, be it in the north of Iraq, Kurdistan, in the south, or itself in the key spot areas of in Iraq where some of the crisis taking place, want to see election taking place. This is a sufficient base to go on for holding election or not. I would say yes. We would say yes. Now, what is the alternative? Why do some forces, we know who they are, and I shall come to them in a minute, do not want to see election taking place? What is the alternative? Well, certainly there is a United Nations sanctioned political process. We'll start with the election and say clearly this election will bring peace, stability, and allow the Iraqis themselves to decide. What is the alternative otherwise? Further bloodshed, further chaos? And has been advised, what kind of program has been advised by those who want to see election postponed? They have absolutely nothing except calling for armed struggle and so forth.
I wanted to get directly to some accusations that have been thrown at your union, and I will specifically ask questions later about Hamid Saleh. He was an international officer with your union, one of the founders of the IFTU, if I'm correct.
Yes, he is.
He was murdered this month, and was amidst accusations of collaboration. And I wanted to very directly to say, how do you respond to very direct accusations that, in fact, by endorsing this election process, you are helping the American occupation?
We are helping nobody. We are helping ourselves, and we are helping the Iraqis to see foreign troops out, to see Iraq embark on a path of democracy, stability, and prosperity. That's what we are embarking on. That's what we are working for. And that's why our recent comrade, Hadi Saleh, paid his life for. He was defending Iraq. He's the one who stopped and who campaigned all his life against Saddam Hussein, against the war, and against the occupation.
We
are the one who are campaigning for the sovereignty of Iraq.
I was wondering, actually, if we had a second, if you could talk a bit about the life of Hamid Saleh and the circumstances surrounding his murder.
But if I may, I would like just, before I could touch on my comrade Hadi Saleh, I would like to say, who are actually these forces who does not want to see election taking place? Who they are? And let's see who they are. Well, there are two key elements in here.
Mm-hmm.
One is extreme fundamentalists, the like of Zarqawi and others, and the other is extreme form of nationalism, the like of Saddam Hussein and his followers. Those are the two key forces who do not want to see election taking place. And certainly, everybody knows what kind of regime these two forces wanted to bring to Iraq.
I did want to ask the question. You mentioned those two factions. Which one do you believe that one of those two factions were in fact involved in the killing of Hamid Saleh?
Well, of course, Saddam's remnant. But of course, those two forces now are working together because it suits them to see Iraq descending into civil war, and it suits them to see Iraq reigning chaos. So, in order for them to divide Iraq, and therefore each one of them has his own kingdom, you know. So, of course, Saddam's remnant behind the killing of our comrades, you know.
I would be interested for our listeners to hear a little bit about Mr. Saleh, and then also that could hopefully lead us to a discussion generally about the state of trade union rights in Iraq at this time, and actually some of the history of that, because it's something that is very rarely talked about in the media here.
Well, Hadi Saleh, a decent man, an ordinary man, who really loved his family, he loved his country, and he loved the notion of trade unionism, the real sense of independent trade unionism. At the age of 21, he was imprisoned by Saddam's forces. He was put on a death row. He spent 5 years of his life in there, waited to be executed by Saddam Hussein. He was luckily managed to escape that execution. He continued to campaign for democracy and for the right of workers to organize freely. He soon after that fled Iraq, but continued to work for trade unionism. He was a key founder on the underground trade union movement that was established in 1980, and was the first to return to Iraq while the bombing on Iraq was taking place. Return in order to build a genuine independent trade union movement. That's the kind of man he was. He was never with his own personal safety or his own welfare and so forth. He breathed and he lived for the cause of democracy and the cause of workers, not only in Iraq, everywhere, to organize it freely from repression and from imprisonment and so forth. You know, he was a key element on building today the Iraqi Federation of Trade Unions. That's the kind of man he was. You know, but of course, people like him are a danger to the extremists, and especially to the like of Saddam's men, who were tortured and killed so many trade unionists before, because they know, in order to have a secure Iraq, you need to have a vibrant trade union movement. We'll be at the heart of civil society. That's the only way where you could build a lasting democracy. Democracy cannot be brought from built from above or be brought from proxy power. Democracy is built from below. That was how he was doing, building democracy from below, creating the right foundation to end the occupation. The right foundation to have a labor law that will encompass and entrench on the key fundamental principle of dialogue. That's the man he was. That's why they killed him, because they know he was a danger to them.
And you believe that, in fact, this was likely the same people who were so strenuously opposed to him as part of Saddam Hussein's government, these are the very same people who are responsible for his murder.
Absolutely. The way that he was killed, the way that he was murdered, I'm sorry, I retreat my word killed, they murdered him. The way he was murdered bear all the mark of Saddam's mukhabarat. His humble home, a simple home, he had only a room, and, a sitting room in Baghdad, in one of the most poorest areas there. Mm. His home was turned into a dungeon, exactly the same manner they used to torture and kill Iraqi innocent people before when they were in power. They blindfolded him. They tied his hands. They tied his feet. They kneeled him down. They tortured him. They stamped cigarette on his face. This is the most barbaric manner to kill, to murder a man. I mean, you hate his politics, you hate him because of his politics. Fine, kill him. Why do you subject him to such inhumane manner? What exactly want to they wanted to tell the world except their dark, brutal history, a history trenched on the blood of Iraqi working people. This is extreme form of nationalism. Those people should not be allowed to gain ground.
Mr. Hussein, what are the struggles facing trade unions, unionists organizing in Iraq? Is there any legislation protecting the right to organize? And what is the state of things for people who are trying to organize right now?
Well, as you may know, with regard to the first part of the question, until now there is no labor code that define people how they should work and organize, except Article 13 of the transitional document. Article 13 says people have the right to join, to form a union, have a right to representation, to strike, and so forth. It's only this. But this is just an article in the transitional constitution. It does not spell out how working condition, hours, protection, right of protection, where should go. So in a sense, to a labor code we still not have yet. However, we are fully engaged, as you are aware, and I'm sure, with ICFTU and ILO to produce a labor code to freeze also Saddam's anti-union law in 1987. A discussion is continuous until now. There's going to be a meeting coming just soon in February, again, hosted also by the ICFTU, specifically on this issue of labor code and so forth in Jordan. So the discussion is on. But do remember, please, who could pass legislation is an elected assembly, and that's why we want to see election also taking place. So in order, once you have an elected in assembly with a mandate for legislation, then hopefully we could put forward this drafted document for further debate among workers and among interested people in the media and politics and so forth, and then to be ratified hopefully by an elected assembly, and will become a code, So, of course, but it has to bear the key fundamental area of United of the ILO Convention, Article 87, Article 98, and the rest. That's one aspect of your question. The second part of the still condition for workers in their extreme heart, extreme in the sense the volatile security situation. And we have been, and specifically the IFU have become, a focus of those extremists to attack. Just in October, November, and December, we have lost so many of our members, including train drivers. And I particularly would like to mention the incident in October for train drivers, two train drivers, and for two railway workers. On a train traveling between Mosul and Baghdad, were stopped, were kidnapped, were killed, tortured, banned, and, in addition to other train drivers. So in a sense, the situation is not that very good.
And on this railway incident as well, sorry to interrupt, but I did want to clarify, these were not military personnel.
No, they were just ordinary people, just ordinary Iraqi drivers who were carrying a consumer good. There was absolutely nothing to do with the military. People were, Ukraine was carrying a consumer good, you know, things to feed the people of Iraq and things to transport from one area to the others, you know, but were targeted, were killed, exactly as the same manner when they did with the seven train drivers, you know, that's traveling between Basra and Nasiriyah. Seven of them were kidnapped, you know, some of them we don't know their fate yet. So in a sense, nevertheless, people are aware and people are carrying, because that's the thing they want to do, intimidate people in Iraq, stop them from carrying on with their own daily life, stop them from working, and once they did that, then they won. So, but the labor movement is not sitting, in a sense, and just waiting for their attack to continue. They have staged also a strike in Basra by the railway workers in the beginning of January, mm-hmm. and called upon the international community, the Iraqi interim government, really, basically the call with the, with the Iraqi interim government to provide an adequate security for the people while they are doing their job and while they are helping in the construction of their country. In addition, yes, the labor movement has been also good in providing support, and specifically from the International Federation of Transport. They issued a statement supporting the strike and calling for the interim government to provide an extra security for the people of Iraq, for the workers while they carry on their job, but also calling all those extremists to stop targeting Iraqi workers. Those are, you know, just innocent Iraqi workers who want a job in order to feed their families. Those people, you know, they need to live, they need to work, you know. That's a key area of problems, in addition to the employment, and, you know, that's why I want to see election to take place. It's also provides some hope of began to the reconstruction of Iraq, and will provide some job and some hope for the Iraqis.
Thank you so much for your time.